What is up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Young, Healthy, and Wealthy Show. Now, before we go ahead and get started, I want to go ahead and tell you guys about Disrupt Week. Now, Disrupt Week is an amazing, amazing event. It's a week-long, yes, you heard me right, a week-long networking entrepreneurship-based event in San Juan, Puerto Rico. My God, you want to go network with somebody? Go network in paradise. Network in San Juan, Puerto Rico. From October 19th to October 26th, Disrupt and Build Your Empire are hosting this event, Disrupt Week, to help bring 50-plus speakers and 500-plus attendees together to network and make the world a better place. Now, if you want to come to this event and listen from speakers like Anthony Delgado, Chris Delgado, Casey Adams, John Malott, Alex Quinn, Sam Bakhtiar, Stephen Campolo, the list goes on and on and on and on. If you want to hear from people like this, go ahead and hit me up in my DMs on Instagram at @Chase_Henderfit. Let's go to Puerto Rico, baby. Let's make it happen. Now, that's it for that. Let's continue on with the show.
Welcome to the Young, Healthy, and Wealthy Show, where we speak with elite individuals and top performers and sing what it takes to stay healthy and get wealthy. Are you ready to be elite? Are you ready to be part of the 1%? Well, then without further ado, let's get it.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Young, Healthy, and Wealthy Show. I'm your host, Chase Henderfit, and today I have another elite entrepreneur on the show. He is a founder of a real estate renovation company, and he's also co-founded SocialX Events, as well as VA Connections. He is a G when it comes to real estate investing as well. Mr. Justin Caballero, J-Cab, how's it going, man?
What's going on, Chase? Thanks for having me on, brother.
I appreciate you coming on, man. I know you're a busy, busy guy. You mean you got all these companies going on. I mean, you just got back from an event in Columbus, Ohio, so I know you've been cranking on all cylinders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, staying busy. I like to say being busy is always better than the alternative, so I'm grateful.
Good shit. Yeah, I 100% agree with that. So for those of you who do not know who J-Cab is, J-Cab, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and, you know, what got you into the entrepreneurship game?
Yeah, man. So I'm just a guy from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Ended up going to college at University of Mississippi, Ole Miss. Wanted to drop out several times, but thankfully, you know, my dad paid for me through. So, and he was like, just graduate. He never graduated. So I know that that was like a big thing for him to have me graduate. Graduated from Ole Miss in 2016. Went back home for a little bit to help take care of my mom. She got sick and passed away a couple years ago. And right after that, you know, I was wanted to make a change. That's kind of like the lowest point in my life right there. Wanted to make a change, wanted to do big things. She kind of always instilled in me, you know, the power of believing in yourself and believing you can do anything. And that's definitely been the most impactful thing in my life, just her brainwashing me early. So I always knew I wanted to do really big things. Moved to Tampa, Florida after she passed away. Started a real estate renovation business. Built that business up with my dad over the past 2.5 years. Done like 235, maybe 240 houses renovated, and has since started SocialX with my business partner, Aaron Platt, about 7 months ago. That's been going really well. We spun that off into a mastermind. We do a bunch of live events all over the country, and we're actually doing a mastermind in Cancun soon, which I'm really excited about. Got one in August 17th in Miami, October 3rd through 6th, we're going to Cancun. And then we also started a virtual assistant staffing company. We have about 14 virtual assistants working for us right now to help power our businesses. And it's just a beautiful business model to be able to really create the systems and processes and then automate and delegate as much as you can to kind of open up more time, which really allows me to have my hand in a lot of different baskets. And that helps drive me because I'm, you know, I have big ambitions. I like to do a lot of different things. I can't be doing the same thing every time. So putting those systems and processes and teams in place is something that I've gotten pretty good at. And I like to help other people do the same thing.
That's amazing. Well, first off, sorry to hear about your mother. I didn't know about that.
It's all good. That's the fuel to the fire, man.
Fuel the fire. Hey, man, you gotta do something for somebody. Absolutely. Make her proud. Kind of building off of what you were saying there at the end, you do a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a lot of entrepreneurship, like people or like social media icons out there that say like focus on the one thing and like go hard at it. Mm-hmm. But you're doing a lot of different things and you seem to be doing really well. So, I mean, how do you manage to keep so many balls up in the air?
Well, yeah, first I did focus on one thing, the real estate renovation business. So okay. I only focused on that thing, built that business up. And then about 6-7 months ago, started, you know, a couple new businesses. So started SocialX and then VA Connections. That was really complimentary to SocialX because we're working with a lot of business owners and entrepreneurs. And one thing that we noticed was that there was a lot of solopreneurs that needed help, and especially being able to get help affordably. So we're really kind of going back, kind of tearing off a couple pages of the E-Myth, Revisited. If you haven't read that, I'd definitely suggest, if you're listening to this podcast right now, go read the E-Myth Revisited. Phenomenal book, but it really talks about how to structure your business, fire yourself from your job. You know, you don't want to get stuck doing every little operational thing. You want to be able to systematize and delegate your business so that you become truly a business owner and not just a solopreneur. So that's something that I see is very, very common. And that's why we started Virtual Assistant Connections, VA Connections.
That's perfect. Cause I know, like, even with my podcast, like, there's a ton of stuff that I've got to do. I've got to edit, I've got to distribute, I've got to write descriptions, I got to post it out, I got to blast on different social media channels. It's a lot. But ever since, like, doing, like, having a VA do a lot of my stuff for me, It is night and day. So much nicer.
Free up your time, man. Know how valuable your time is worth, and anything that's not, you know, on par with your wage, your pay grade, you got to delegate it. And people don't realize that you can literally pay VAs $2, $3, $4, $5 an hour that are competent, that are educated, and that are experienced. You can find VAs that are educated and experienced out there to take off so much of the busy work.
Oh, it's so nice. Like, and that kind of goes into this idea, because before I got a VA, I was always so focused on making sure everything was perfect. Like, yep, everything had to be perfect. Everything had to be structured the way that I saw it in my head. Mm-hmm. And the first time I sent stuff out to my VA, I was like, this is, you know, because I'm not in control of it now.
Yeah.
I can be like, yeah, I can say some edits later on, but like, I'm not in control over it now. How do you get over that hump?
Dude, it really wasn't until I started Total Property Solutions and we hired our first employee that I truly saw being able to leverage other people and other people's time and their abilities to just, because I was doing everything, right? I was freaking overwhelmed. I was doing literally everything. And I was like, I'm going to suffocate, you know, in all this work. And then just being able to hand it off, you know, there's a saying, it's like, if someone can do something 80% as you could do it, as well as you can do it, then you should probably hand it off. And then also, you know, lay down the roadmap, create that SOP, give them the first 10%, give them the first nudge of, hey, this is what I want you to do. Let them do the 80%, and then you can button it up at the final 10% at the end. So, I mean, if you can have them, even if they're doing 80%, you only have to do 20%. That's a big help. But yeah, I mean, it's just getting over the fact, like, especially when you're training new employees, they're going to mess up the first time a lot of times. You just got to train, and you're investing into that person because you're investing long-term in your business. You can continue to spend 5 hours a week on menial tasks, or you can train someone. Yeah, they may mess up once or twice in the beginning, but after you fix that, you can continuously refine that process, and then you're saving hundreds and hundreds of hours in the long run.
Oh, big time. I know, just like putting out the editing so I don't have to do it anymore, I've saved myself at least 2 hours an episode, which is nuts.
How many episodes do you do a month?
I do about 8 a month. So it's saving me about 16 hours a month.
All right, that's a lot. So that's 16 hours a month. That's 192 hours a year.
Yeah, and that's just editing.
That's just editing.
That's not to mention like putting it out and like repurposing content. Dude, it's so nice.
So you're saving a few hundred hours a year. Is that correct?
Now, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I love my VA.
Yeah.
It's my favorite person in the world.
How much do you pay your VA?
Huh?
How much do you pay them, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah. So like for editing and repurposing content and posting, it's like $15 an episode. So
not bad.
Yeah. So it's like, I'm paying them, like, if I'm saving like 3 hours of my time, it's like $5 an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not too bad. Not too bad.
Solid. But,
what could you do with that extra, you know, 3 hours of your time? Go get more people on podcasts, go make money, do a lot of things.
Oh, there's, So much. Yeah. If you guys are listening right now, you know, we talked about VAs and SOPs on Aaron Platt's episode as well. So go ahead and go back and listen to that one too. Also a lot of insightful information there. But kind of switching gears a little bit, cause I really wanted to get into this, and I think a lot of other people, yeah, there's Aaron in the background. I think a lot of other people would really be interested in this too, was, you know, your first venture with real estate renovations. Like, yep. How did you land on that?
Yeah, man. So I really grew up around real estate from a pretty young age. My dad started flipping houses when he was 18, then got into the mortgage note business, buying and selling mortgage, basically just buying and selling the debt instead of being an equity player in the real estate transactions. So, you know, I grew up learning how to, you know, look at real estate. My dad, like, I'd just be driving down the road and be like, son, you see that house? You know, you can do X, Y, Z to make it better. So like I started to gain an eye for real estate. I, you know, whenever started looking around thinking, you know, how can I make money? I've always been very entrepreneurial growing up my entire life, and started studying, you know, wealthy individuals, and realized that I think about 90% of them become millionaires off of real estate one way or another. I was like, all right, this is definitely a game that I want to figure out. In college, I started working in the summers in high school, and then in college, I worked in his office. And then, you know, when I was at Ole Miss, I would go with my brother and buy properties for a private equity firm that he was representing. So I started looking at single family houses in Memphis a lot, started seeing renovations and all that stuff. And then I can't remember if it was my sophomore or junior year, I started working for a real estate developer who was building student housing complexes, just doing marketing and leasing, did a really good job for him. He was like, all right, you're the best guy I got, you know, at all my different complexes throughout the Southeast. Why don't you come work for me after college? So I ended up working for him for about a year after college, managing his 4 apartment complexes at Ole Miss. And then he had like ones at Mississippi State, Auburn, Alabama, Vanderbilt, Florida State. So I was, you know, running around looking at some of those projects, helping try to find new deals, etc. So it was a boutique shop, assets. So I really liked that position. It was very entrepreneurial. Even though I was working for him, got exposed to a lot of different sides of the business. And that's really where I fell in love with multifamily, which is kind of what I'm getting back into now, doing some apartment syndications, just a lot more economies of scale. But yeah, that's kind of how I got introduced to real estate. Like I said earlier, whenever I moved to Tampa, my dad had just sold his previous business, which was a mortgage servicing business. And, you know, he was kind of ready to get out of Baton Rouge. I was ready for, you know, a new city. I wanted to be in a city where there was a lot of young professionals, more opportunity, up and coming. Always been really attracted to the Florida lifestyle. So I was like, hey, Tampa's a good spot, let's roll. And we started Total Property Solutions, and that's been a fun roller coaster ride, like most businesses, you know, up and down, but learned a ton, just being able to get to work with a great person to shadow and just see how he operates and how he handles calls and negotiations and all that stuff. I feel like has exponentially grown my business acumen.
Right. And something that's really interesting about this whole thing, like, you got into real estate, you're building a company, but you're doing it with your dad. And I know there's a lot of people out there who I've seen tons of pieces of content, like, don't do business with family, don't do business with family. Like, but you started a business with your dad. How's that been?
Man, it's good. It's definitely ups and downs. I would say it's most difficult in the beginning when you're still, I mean, here's the biggest issue. Me and my dad are very similar. Like, our strong suits are similar and our weaknesses are similar, right? We're both business development type people. We like to market, we like to sell, we like to negotiate, we like to put deals together. You really need somebody that is your opposite, that can handle the details, that likes the finances. So whatever side you're on, you need, you know, there's got to be an engineer mind, and there's got to be like a technical mind and an integrator, and then there's got to be a visionary who can push the vision forward. And we're both pretty much visionaries. So in the beginning, the hardest part was, you know, I was dealing with that, our similar personalities, both strong-willed. But once we kind of got that foundation down, and the systems and processes and most of the kinks worked out, then there's less problems that happen and you kind of have guardrails around all your processes and there's not, I guess, crazy occurrences as often. So from there, I mean, that would be the biggest downfall, I would say. The biggest positive is there's no one that loves you more than, like, at least in my case, than my father. Like, he's always going to do, you know, he always wants what's best for me. And he was able to accelerate my growth because we were, you know, spending pretty much every waking hour together and just talking business, you know, 95% of the time. So that was definitely a big positive. You know, my dad's had some pretty good success in the past. So just having that mentor kind of 24/7 has helped me grow a lot. So yeah, that's kind of the dynamic of that relationship, I guess.
Hey man, I'm with you. Like whenever I'm home and I'm hanging out, cause my dad's an entrepreneur too. We don't do business together, but he's bought, yeah, built, sold all sorts of types of companies. Mm-hmm. And so every time I'm with him, there's nothing that's discussed other than business stuff. Yeah. He'll ask me like, hey, what marketing or tactics are you going to use? I'm like, oh, I don't know. Like, oh, we're doing this, this, and this, and I'm building this SOP. Oh, so what's going on with your, with this process? And it's so funny.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Like the only conversations you have.
Yeah. I took a, it's funny. I took a family entrepreneurship class in college, which that's a whole nother conversation system. It's totally screwed up in my opinion, especially the entrepreneurial education system, because it's not being taught by entrepreneurs, which makes no sense to me. And which is why I have the mastermind, Social X Mastermind. But that's one of the things they were talking about. It's like, it's just 24/7 if you do family business together. And also most entrepreneurs come from a family, a lineage of entrepreneurs. I think like,
that's wild.
A family, like in your DNA
class
in your DNA.
Oh, true. Yeah. It's in the DNA. Definitely. Yeah. No, I definitely remember like, what were some early signs of entrepreneurship for you?
Dude, I threw a lot of parties. I would literally just go get two, even before then in middle school, trying to think of the very first, I probably got some in like elementary school, but in middle school, I would always just hustle and flip different things. I'd always be looking for opportunities to make money. And this is probably not the best way to kind of hustle and make money, but I was betting, but I would make bets that I knew I would win. So like I bet my friends in basketball game that I knew I was like three times as good at, and he went and make like five,
hustler.
15 bucks. And I was like, all right, this isn't good. I don't want to lose friendships and this is not the right way to make money. My next one, you know, I started a t-shirt company with a couple buddies. I also threw parties where I was like, all right, party at my house. I got two kegs. Everyone bring $5. I double my money and then I'd go play beer pong. I did a lot of stuff like that. T-shirts I made, dude, if I would have stuck with the t-shirts thing, that could have really took off. So I started using like influencer marketing and giveaways and stuff on Instagram, like right when it came out, and I grew this page a few thousand. If I would have kept doing that, then I could have really blew it up. But the problem was, is the branding was really bad. The logo was terrible and the designs weren't good, but I was still selling.
Right.
It's like, damn, if I would have actually like started it correctly, then I could have really took that places. But my two business partners, they were in college, you know, going through the fraternity stuff. They're, none of us were really 100% committed to it, but that opened up the power of Instagram to me, which I'm now leveraging now for my businesses. Yeah, man. So those are just a few of the things that I did kind of like where I knew I was like, I was always up to something, you know, I was always, right, always trying to make money somehow.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, it's the telltale signs of a true entrepreneur right there. So, yeah. So this transition really into college as well, can you kind of highlight what that's like to be an entrepreneur in college?
Yeah, man. I mean, every time I came to my dad with like a real estate deal or something, he would be like, just focus on school, just focus on school. So yes, I didn't do, you know, my entrepreneurial and my ambitious endeavors really took form through, I was a social chair for my fraternity. So I was just consistently planning like the next party or the next parents weekend or like the crawfish and just like getting $5-$10 from everybody, go buy the crawfish and bringing it to the baseball game. So I was just consistently keeping myself busy doing that and kind of networking. Cause my dad, every time I was like, bring my dad a deal, he'd be like, no, just focus. So I mean, I really just did that 24/7. And after I read the book Rich Dad Poor Dad, I went from being a 4.0 student in college to 4.0 to like 3.2, 2.8, 3.5. I ended up graduating like 3.5 overall, but it went straight downhill after I read Rich Dad Poor Dad, which basically, like, this guy had two dads. For those of you, have you read it?
Yeah, no, I've read it.
Yes. So I realized, you know, my dad was probably the rich dad in that book, you know, didn't have any formal education, went to college for two semesters, but still was successful and just kind of hustled and figured it out, got mentors, great relationships with the right people. And then you had the poor dad who had six different freaking degrees and was broke as hell. I was like, all right, this formal education stuff isn't working. I see that, you know, I got a 4.0 and I didn't even try that hard. I need to start self-educating myself. So I stopped going to class and started reading my own books of my choice, started listening to podcasts, et cetera. And then started putting together a lot of different events with the social care stuff. I'd be like, all right, $15, $20 a head, everybody, we're going to get a bus. We're going to go to the Memphis Grizzlies game. You know, I would take, everyone paid $10, I'll take $10 off the top. So I was always doing different events like that, spring break, et cetera. So that was really my entrepreneurial endeavors. I really started, but about halfway through college, I just started self-educating and completely stopped going to class. I can't believe I graduated doing that, but I said, thank God for test banks, huh?
Yeah, no, dude, no kidding. that's kind of been where I'm at now, because I'm hitting the end of college, but you know, I did really well in the beginning and then I kind of trailed off, and now I'm self-educating. I read books all the time. I'm listening to podcasts. I've got, you know, making my podcast.
Yeah.
And like, I'll go to class, but it's just like, I'm working in class.
It's yeah, good. That's awesome.
I'm editing and I'm working in class. So like, I totally get where you're coming from.
Yeah. I think my final straw was I was in finance class, you know, junior, senior year, you start to get to the higher level classes. Right. And I went to my finance class and I was super pumped because I was like, all right, I can see how this class can directly make me money in the stock market. So like, all right, if I learn stocks, I can start making money. I started buying and selling some stocks like Tesla, rode that wave up and down a couple of times, made a little bit of money doing that. Tip stuff. I didn't know what I was doing. I just got lucky. I was just reading the graphs and reading the headlines. And I believe in this Elon Musk guy, but I see that it keeps going up and down, up and down. So I was just kind of riding that wave. But I did that with a few stocks. But anyways, my finance teacher was like a genius. Like, he knew everything about stocks, knew everything about the stock market, diversification, blah, blah, blah. And I was just picking this dude's brain. I was like, I was always, if I did go to class, I was the only person asking questions too, which I thought was hilarious. Because I'd show up once every 3 weeks and then I would ask a ton of questions, and I was the only person in there actually learning when I was there, I felt like. But so I would just pick this guy's brain, and then I asked him, of course, what stocks are you invested in? And he said, none. And I wanted to get up and walk out right there. I was like, all right, so you're this genius at stocks. You're teaching all of us about the stock market, blah, blah, blah. And you're not even invested in stocks yourself. And that just is like totally sums up academics to me. It's just totally screwed up. It's backwards. You have a bunch of people teaching out of a book who are not practitioners. And I think it should be the complete opposite.
No, 100%. That's wild. Mm-hmm. That's nuts. Like that. Yeah, I can't respect the system where it's like people are out here preaching and teaching shit that they're not part of, that they don't do.
Right.
It's nuts.
Yeah, man. That's kind of have an issue with the education system right now, which is why I'm trying to improve it. And, you know, I got these big visions of helping reform and improve the education system, but I'm just trying to take it one step at a time, starting with entrepreneurial education and trying to get all the best business owners and experienced entrepreneurs to come teach Social X Mastermind and be able to build those relationships and collaborate with them and continuously learn. I think that, you know, entrepreneurs are really just problem solvers, and we can solve any problem in the world, cancer, anything, you know, the water issue worldwide. And we need to continue to keep fostering entrepreneurship, and it needs to be taught by the best people. Like, I would go to computer class if people like Bill Gates and Steve Jobs were teaching the computer class. Why can't we not digitalize their knowledge, put them on modern platforms that everyone's using? And then, yeah, my ass is going to be paying more attention in computer class, especially if you can do some interactive activities where, you know, you got iPads or whatever, be it. I know that there's some really cool stuff with, you know, virtual reality and augmented reality coming. So I'm trying to stay on the cutting edge of all that stuff because I'm really interested in, you know, helping form the education system. It really hasn't changed in 100 years. So that's just some stuff that I'm really passionate about. I'm trying to take action on, and I'm trying to help improve, in particular, putting some more structure and really building a good entrepreneurial ecosystem that allows people to, you know, really become successful around doing things that they love to do.
Right. And I really, what I love about all this too, is how you're really trying to bring the entrepreneurs together and develop that ecosystem. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I know when I first got into the entrepreneurial realm and kind of watching my dad back when he was doing entrepreneurship, it seemed very cutthroat, very, everybody's against everybody else. Like, it was just like, it's a one man show, but now it's really changing. You mind highlighting that? Like, what are your opinions on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think collaboration over competition is key. And there, it's just a fact that, you know, if you have a bunch of smart people working together and masterminding, your knowledge and your growth is going to grow exponentially. You know, if you're just by yourself, then yeah, you can learn. But if you have multiple smart people bouncing ideas and conversing with each other and working together consistently, you just grow that much faster. You learn that much faster. The thoughts and the ideas are that much better because they kind of accumulate on top of each other. You know, the shared thinking is definitely very powerful. And, you know, like, if you ever read the book, Think and Grow Rich, they talk about how important masterminds are. They really say it's one of the keys to success. And I totally agree with that. I invest myself in masterminds. You know, I started my own mastermind for the same reason. But I just think it's incredibly powerful to curate that knowledge and also build those relationships to where it's like a phone a friend. You know, you're building a relationship. You know, you can call me if you ever need anything. I always try to make a connection or help you in any way. And then also the business opportunities that's brought from those relationships are awesome. So, you know, I've been able to just begin to do business with a lot more people that I know, like, and trust because I'm in masterminds with them. We've built a relationship. We communicate on a consistent basis. We have similar belief and mindset. So yeah, I mean, I think it's invaluable.
That's perfect. And that led you to start your own mastermind, Social X Mastermind, by the way, is amazing. Anybody who's listening to this, you need to look into it. You need to join. It's fire. What was the, you know, why did you feel that you needed to start your own though? Because there's tons of them out there and it takes a lot to start one. Like, why did you feel the need to do it yourself?
Yeah, good question. So, you know, we threw Social X event in Tampa last weekend of March, and I was not planning to start one at all. If I would have started the mastermind before the event, we'd have a lot more set, you know, we'd have a lot more people in the mastermind right now. It is growing pretty quickly, and I really like the group of people that we have right now, and we're going to continue to grow it. But it was just kind of a natural progression because, you know, the event was amazing. How do we continue to keep building this community? Like, when's the next event, et cetera, et cetera? Well, it takes a lot of work to throw an event that big. I was like, I can't throw an event every weekend. It's just not possible, at least not right now. And I want to continue to keep building this community. I want to continue to keep learning and growing and bringing in some really amazing entrepreneur minds to come teach. And I also want to keep fostering this community to help, you know, young entrepreneurs and business owners to continue to grow, build those relationships, build that network. So I thought, you know, how can I do this? Well, we can do it digitally. You know, we can keep meeting up, you know, maybe every couple of months or once a quarter at different live events, like the one we're going to have in Miami and in Cancun over the next few months. But we can also meet a couple of times a week just on Zoom calls and kind of continue what we got going here. So that's why I started it.
That's perfect. So with Social X event, like the actual event, you know, I mean, just from going there myself, by the way, thank you for the ticket.
You're welcome, bro. Glad you came.
It was so much and it was insane, but it must have been a hell in a handbasket to get that organized and keep it running.
Yeah, man, it was definitely very hectic and a whole lot of work. You know, I guess ignorance is bliss and naivety just being naive to the fact of how much work it is. Cause I've thrown events in the past, you know, different parents' weekends, big parties in college, all that good stuff. But I've never thrown an event quite like the one we had thrown. And I only gave myself a 3-month time period, which is really funny because I almost did it in a 2-month time period. And really the last 2 months we had to really crank it up. But yeah, man, that just kind of goes back to me having a big vision. It's like, we're just going to make this happen no matter what. But yeah, it was a lot of work, definitely very rewarding, able to connect with so many amazing people like yourself, really extend my network, extend my relationships, and make a big positive impact on a lot of people's lives. You know, I was with a couple people, one in particular, his name's Tyler Balsetti up in Columbus. I don't know if you remember meeting him at Social X, but he was like, dude, Social X literally changed my life. He's like, you literally changed my life. Like, thank you so much. I am forever in debt to you. I was like, no, dude, this is exactly why we do it. You don't owe me shit. I'm just glad it had a positive impact on you. And that is so fulfilling to me. And that was another reason that, like, I was like, I got to keep doing this. I got to start the mastermind. Like, people need this. They're telling me they need this. We have to provide this service and keep this thing going, keep growing this community, keep helping people. You know, I have a mission to help 1 million entrepreneurs in my lifetime build businesses, successful businesses around what they're passionate about. So if I can do that, I just know that's, I believe that's how I'm going to make the biggest impact on the world, is empowering other people. And you know, if I can help even just, you know, 1,000 entrepreneurs do that, then they're going to make a big impact on the world. But I'm going for 1 million. So got to set the bar high.
Hell yeah, man. I love it. You know what? 10 million. I'm going to challenge you 10 million.
Oh, man. Oh, God. All right. We'll see about that, man. Why not? Let's go. 100 million.
Fucking go. No, but for real, though, I know Aaron's there, too. So this is for both of you guys. That event changed my life, too. I mean, I'm sitting here running a podcast where I'm hitting thousands of people. You know, hopefully, yeah. We're going to hit thousands of people.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wouldn't have been able to do that. Like, before, it was just like shiny object syndrome. I was all over the place.
Yeah.
And just from that event, I've met so many people, like you guys, and I met so many other people that I've just, it's, my network has exploded, and just the potential for my business has exploded as well. So I really thank you guys 100%. Really appreciate that.
Absolutely, man. See, like, you're the type of person that goes to an event like that, makes those relationships, takes advantage of the opportunity, and then goes, puts it in action. So kudos to you for being an action taker. And really, that's a point that I want to drive home right now, is I couldn't see, you know, when I first started Social X, believe it or not many people have heard this story. It was just going to be like a little meetup with like 20 or 30 people. That was the only thing. Because I sat back late November, it was actually Thanksgiving night, 2018. And, you know, I built Total Property Solutions up, 0 to $10 million in 2 years, and I still was not very fulfilled. And I was like, why am I feeling like this? Like, something's missing. So I sat down and did this worksheet. Basically, it's, you imagine that you're on your deathbed, and it's, what are 5 things that are prohibiting you, that if you die today, have prohibited you from having your most successful life? And that really made me think. And I wrote, one of the things I wrote down, I'll never forget this, was I'm not pursuing all my passion projects. So I was like, all right, I don't even know what that means right now, but my subconscious mind is telling me that I'm not doing everything that I love to do. So I need to figure it the hell out. So what I did next was I wrote like a 2 or 3 page biography, like autobiography, basically running through my life. And that's a super emotional thing. If you've never done that, I suggest doing that. That's a deep process of writing a little 2-3 pager autobiography, because you think about like certain parts of your time, your life, whenever you're reminiscing, like maybe you see your old high school and you start thinking of your high school memories or something like that. But to see your whole life and write out your whole life from like when you were born, you know, as early as you can remember up until now, and like the progression of that, you'll start to think and remember all these super, you know, super highs and super lows. And it's crazy to do that. So I definitely suggest people to do that. But I did that process because I wanted to uncover what were the areas in my life and the times in my life where I felt most happy, most passionate, had the most energy. And what I realized was that it's when I'm connecting people. So I've always had a knack for being able to bring people together. And I always say, if you get the right people in the right places, then amazing things happen. Just like what happened at SocialX, you were able to come together with a bunch of like-minded individuals, make a ton of great relationships, took that opportunity and ran with it. Now you're just having all these badasses on your podcast, trying to crush you in your business, and you're just, your networks and your opportunities have really grown exponentially. And same thing happened for me and a lot of people, you know, that went to the event in, or similar events like that, right? And it's just, you know, if you can identify what really gives you the most energy and you have the courage to take action on that, although it may be imperfect action and you can't see 1,000 miles down the road, I just thought I was going to get 20 to 30 people together because I was like, all right, I've identified that I love connecting people and I'm not doing it right now. I'm just focused on this building, this real estate renovation business. So I got to get back into that, however that looks. And I said, all right, well, let's just start. I'm going to video DM like 20, 30 people in Tampa and Orlando that I think are cool young entrepreneurs out there making moves. One of those people was Aaron Platt. He hit me back with a video DM and was like, dude, let's hop on a call. I've been wanting to do something like this. And we actually met at a different event in Miami. And we had been to a couple of events. We thought that we could do it better and provide more value, et cetera, et cetera. So we kind of started masterminding on that. He drove over from Orlando to Tampa and we started looking at venues. we looked at like every venue in Tampa and we're like, it pretty much, long story short, we ended up being like, all right, how many people can we fit in here? All right, we're having an event with a few hundred people, then let's go. But it started with just, I'm going to get 20 people together for like a freaking Sunday brunch at a little local spot. But, and then it just grew into a 400 plus person event over 3 days. So you don't, what I'm going back and trying to tie into is you don't have to see 100 miles down the road. Just take the next step and take a lot of action, massive action. Although it may be imperfect, every step forward is going to get you closer. And yes, you're going to fall, you're going to bust your face, but you'll get back up and it's a stepping stone to where you want to go. And you just gotta have faith. You know, the only thing in life that you should really fear is fear itself. I never want to get to that point in my life to where I actually am dying. And I say these 5 things actually did prohibit me from living my best life.
Wow. Wow, that was powerful, man. Like I could feel the passion coming just when you were talking about that. That's wild. And I love the practice too of like looking back at your looking on your deathbed, seeing like what prohibited you, you know, what's your biggest regret? And people's biggest regrets are going to be not doing something. So might as well go out there and do it. And one of the big things you really hit on there was an imperfect action. I know that was something I struggled with for a long time where it was like everything had to be perfect before I did something. You know, how do you get over that mental like barrier of going from everything has to be perfect to like just go?
That's a good question. I've really never been the type of person to where it's like everything has to be perfect, I don't think. But I think just understanding that people are imperfect, you know? I've literally sat across the table at different business meetings and lunches from people worth hundreds of millions and billions of dollars. And they are normal people. Yeah, some of them may seem like a little more educated, maybe a little more snobby and prestigious, but usually I found that most of them are like, I know for a fact, none of them are smarter than me and you. Like they're just not. They're a little more progressed in their career, yes, but most of the really successful people that I've met have been people that are smart, they're very hardworking, they have consistent routines, and they build good relationships and people trust them. And that's those are the common factors that I've found with the people that are literally worth hundreds of millions of dollars, but they're no smarter. They're just out there working hard, making relationships. They believe in themselves. They have a big vision. And there's no difference between someone who's worth 50 million and someone worth 500 million besides their belief level and how big they want to go on the deal. Making that same deal, you know, it's going to take the same amount of effort to make the $100 million deal as it is to make the $10 million deal, just like an apartment, same amount of work.
Damn. That's why. And that's something I feel like a lot of people don't realize. They might be thinking like, oh, like the smaller things are going to be easier, but I mean, you'd be surprised if you shoot for the moon. I mean, even if you miss the moon, you hit the stars, you're still hitting large. That's the thing. You got to shoot hard. You got to shoot far.
I agree.
That's huge. But in order to like really make yourself something, something you kind of touched on a little bit ago, if you really want to take action, you take that imperfect action, but you need to make sure it's in something that you're passionate about. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you go about finding that passion? Because I know this is something we highlighted before, before this call, where it's like one of the big things you really value is self-awareness and being able to figure out, you know, what you're good at, you know, what you can do, what you're passionate about. Do you mind going into that a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. So I think I hit on it a little bit, but I'll tie it all together of what has personally helped me. So I think the first and most practical place to start is go online and take every personality test that you can. Go take, there's one, if you type in, if you Google Tony Robbins, this, go take the 16 personality test. It's like the Myers-Briggs or Myers-Briggs test, forget which one it is. Go take those two. That's a good starting place and really read those and study those. There's also one, if you are working for a business right now, you can ask them if they will get the culture index. That's a really good one for businesses. I use that for hiring. But really understanding who you are, what motivates you, and what your natural personality is like. How are you natural? You know, I'm naturally very ambitious. I'm naturally more of a, I'm about actually 50-50 introvert, extrovert. You know, I really like when I'm in a group of people, I can really facilitate and meet everybody and be the socialite. But then I also recharge and I like my space and I like to read. And that's just kind of how, you know, I'm very independent as well. But really just understanding all your little ins and outs and your preferences, and then understanding what you're good at. That's very important. I think that's step one. And then step two is, what do you like? Like going back to, I wrote out my whole life and then circled the common themes where I felt most passionate, happiest, most energized. What were you doing? Because there's a reason you're feeling that. And if you can identify those kind of high points in your life, there's a reason you're naturally drawn to certain things. And it may be 3, 4, or 5 different things that you're naturally drawn to. Write them out. Work them, test them. If you do that process and you're saying, you know, there's really not one of those that there's nothing I'm really passionate about, then you just need to try more stuff. And that's the fact. Do new things, try new things, because eventually you're going to find something that you're super passionate about. And 9 out of 10 times, those people really deep down already know, they just don't think that they can actually make a living off of it. But in today's world, newsflash, you can literally make money off of anything with the power of internet. And going back to kind of just studying really successful people, there's so many different ways to make money. It's crazy. And that's why when a business opportunity comes across my desk that I'm not necessarily passionate about or doesn't really align with my goals in life, my long-term vision, which is to own an insane amount of apartment buildings and help 1 million entrepreneurs around what they love, I'll just pass them. You know, there's too many other ways to make money. Or if something is just, if I don't like the business model and how it's impacting the world, just pass on it. There's too many other ways to make money, man.
Right. That's a big thing you put on there is like, there's going to be a lot of opportunities thrown at you, but you doesn't mean just because there's an opportunity doesn't mean you take it. You only need to take it if it's going to help you achieve the goals that you want to achieve. That's powerful. Yeah. Awesome stuff, man.
And really start with the end in mind. I've done this a few times. Write your own eulogy. What do you want your family members to say about you when you die? What do you want your spouse to say about you when you die? What do you want your kids to say about you when you die? What do you want your business partners to say about you when you die? What do you want your community members to say at your funeral about you? How do you want to be remembered and what impact do you want to leave? I think is everything. Because if you begin with that, you're going to start thinking long term and be like, okay, once you have your end goal in mind, then you can reverse engineer the step that you need to take, you know, 20-year goals, 10-year goals, 5-year goals, 1-year goals, all the way down until what do I need to do this afternoon? And is it pushing the needle closer to those goals? Don't get overwhelmed by, oh, that seems so far away and so hard to hit. Just break it down and say, I know eventually I'm going to get there. And there's a power of exponential growth. you know, it's, you're going to start slow, but you're going to get better and better, and you're going to keep building on top of your lessons learned, and you're going to get there faster and faster. So just because you, you know, fail for the first 3-4 years, you're still learning throughout that process, and you're getting a little bit better each time.
It's like Kaizen lifestyle. I love it.
Exactly, man. Exactly.
Perfect. J-Cab, thanks so much for coming on the show today, man. I got one more question. I liked asking this question the last couple of times. So
yep.
Let's say you're the host right now, right?
Yep.
And you were interviewing J-Cab. You were interviewing you. What's a question you would ask yourself?
Man, that's a hell of a question. I don't know, man. I guess it just depends on how you see me and what you want to know. You know, a lot of people come up and ask me different real estate questions, or, you know, how do you come up with all this crazy ambitious shit?
I mean, like, what do you really want to know? What do you really want to ask? Like, what's something that you feel is the most important?
I mean, I think for anybody, it's why are you doing what you're doing, you know? And I think I kind of hit on that. It's, I don't want to be super successful and have hundreds of millions of dollars down the road one day and then get on my deathbed and say, what if, or why did I live like this? Why didn't I do these things? You know, I want to live a life where I'm successful in all facets, not just business, but family. And I want to leave a legacy, you know, through my family, through my kids, and through my wealth as well, but also in my community. I want to help other people. And I believe if the best way I can help other people is to help other entrepreneurs succeed, because by definition, entrepreneurs solve problems and they're able to help people. So if I'm able to help entrepreneurs, then they're going to be helping other people. And I believe that's the way I can make the biggest positive impact, the biggest positive dent in the universe.
I love it, man. That's amazing. Yo, J-Cab, thank you so much for coming on the show today. If anybody wants to get in contact with you at all in any way, shape, or form, how can they do so?
I would say the easiest way is to literally just slide in my DMs at J-Cab, at J-C-A-B as in boy, on Instagram. If you hit me up a couple of times in there, I'll be sure to respond to you for sure.
Perfect.
Happy to connect with anybody listening to this podcast. Just tell me that you came from Chase's podcast, and I know that you're listening to good people. So,
hell yeah. Y'all heard it. Go slide in the DMs. And until next time, stay healthy, get wealthy.
Thank you for tuning into this week's episode of the Young, Healthy, and Wealthy Show. My name is Chase Henderfit. I am your host. And if you have any questions at all, feel free to DM me on Instagram at Chase_Henderfit. And I have one favor to ask. Please just share this episode with one person. You never know who it could help impact. And if you share it on your Instagram story, I'll repost it on mine. So until next time, stay healthy, get wealthy.